I would say I have like, I have a lot of like guidepost principles, I feel like.
Okay.
Where, for example, I am a pretty strong, and I think like, I think this one's pretty accepted. I'm a pretty strong believer in not sleeping with somebody on the first date. And the only occasion that you should do that on is if you are willing to never speak to them again. I think you really have to be willing to completely let go.
Or is it more that you won't care if you never hear from them again?
You need to go in a little glass half empty if you make that choice. And then anything above absolutely never hearing from them again is a bonus.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your host, Erica Spira, and I am recording to you guys live from LA for the very first time on the show, so I'm very, very excited. Real quick, if you listen to the show and you want to support the show, you can join the Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. I might have mentioned on a previous episode about seeing someone and the whole pressure of then going to LA, so if you want those details, you gotta go over to the Patreon, because I've learned to keep some parts of my life more private due to past experiences. So check that out. And if you really, really want to support the show, okay, you could also do this, sunsetlakecbd.com. All right? You know them. You love them. I use them all the time. And let me tell you something. I've really gotten into, at the end of the day, putting some CBD drops in my drink truly has made me the most relaxed I think I've ever been in my life. So check out sunsetlakecbd.com. We got a promo code for 20% off, SGS20, and you can use it as many times as you want. It makes a great gift. It makes a great, I don't know, care package? I don't know what else to say. I like getting it for other people, okay? Especially if anybody you know has been like, I've done weed before, and I was too anxious. It made me paranoid. CBD is the root for these people, okay? So check them out, sunsetlakecbd.com. You know I love them. I use them. They got melatonin gummies if you got problems sleeping. They got everything. They got shit for your pets, okay? Drug your pets, you know? Just do it. Why not? You know what I mean? I've seen your pets. I've gone to your houses. You know I'm not a dog person. And if they had some Sunset Lake CBD, maybe I would be. Maybe I would be. Maybe it would change my view on the whole thing. But anyway, I do have a great guest for you guys, as always. So without further ado, I'm going to intro my guest over here, and I'm going to fuck up your last name. I just realized.
This is unbelievable.
Okay, so you might recognize the voice already, okay? Funny, because today I literally changed your name in my phone to have your last name. So
That's fine. You can just know me as Rourke.
Okay. All right, I'll give you... This is my big intro
here.
All right, I used to have music, and then we start doing YouTube now, which, by the way, if you're listening, you can go watch us on the YouTube, which is very, very fun. And then now there's copyright things, so I can't do fun music anymore. So here we go. All right. If I seem a little off, I'm trying a new studio and the producer listens the whole time, so I'm a little bit like, you know. I want to...
Do you think he's judging you?
Now I don't even know. Is it Dave or David? Now I'm fucking
up.
Oh
my God. He said he was fine with anything.
I'm like, don't judge me, David. I'm pretty good at this.
David.
Yes.
A little Love Island?
Yeah.
Ekinsu. You're a liar. Okay. And an actress.
All right. Well, if you recognize that voice or you don't, my guest this week, I'm very, very excited. Okay. You might have seen her on Survivor. Very, very exciting. Our first Survivor guest of the show. And you might have listened to her old pod, which is now currently my other pod and new
pod. Your pod.
Finding Mr. Height. Put your hands together for the lovely Rourke. Luskin. Damn it.
I was close.
All right. Anyway, I owned it. I'm bad with names. Anyway, very excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming.
I'm so excited. I'm so happy you're here. It's been so fun having you, and I'm excited for you to come back.
Thank you. It's been a very nice welcoming. I felt very loved coming out here to LA, even though I have actually been a full hermit.
I think, though, I feel like, I don't know. When we were talking about your visit to LA, we were talking about the like Sex and the City trope of those two episodes where they come and they're like, oh my God, we got to get out of here, all these happy people.
Yes.
And I do really think that there is something about, to me, living in New York, which I did for 5 years, everything in your life is like 30% harder. Right? Like going to the grocery store, commuting.
That's a great way to put
everything
it.
Everything is a chunk harder. Mm-hmm. And so I do think when you're out here, like, you can kind of just, like, relax a bit and be on your – I don't know. There is something about being in L.A. that I think can breed that behavior.
Yes.
Where you have, like, a little bit less kind of, like, stress and anxiety about just the daily doings of life. And you can just, like, be.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
A little bit. I know that's a very LA thing to say in entirety, yeah. But whatever.
It's very simpler. There was some saying someone said it was like, in LA, everybody is depressed and miserable, but nobody wants you to know it.
Mm.
It's very, oh, easy breezy, we're all doing great. And then New York, it's like, everybody's miserable and everyone wants you to know it.
That's true. I think the way that LA people show it is the wellness things that they're involved in.
Oh,
so it's like,
yes.
I'm very, very well because I do my cupping back to back with my ketamine treatment. And then I take my dog to the astrologer. And like, that's how people cope in LA. They don't externalize by, like, getting angry or kvetching or whatever.
Yeah. I call it the woo-woo is what I call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm like, because I'm not a woo-woo person, and LA feels very woo-woo, and I feel like it's all that self-care.
Is.
But funny, I actually started talking about this with the Uber driver over here, and he said, what is the one thing, you know, you don't like about LA, or how do you feel, LA versus New York? And it's funny that I was like, both the thing I like and don't like is the hustle aspect,
mm-hmm.
and specifically with LA, there's been a few times I've been in line for something and there's no urgency. There is no urgency to the line or let's get someone else on the register.
I will say, have you spent any time in the South?
A little bit with comedy and I felt the same thing.
Okay, because I was going to say, that's got to be worse.
But
I
it's
think
not
that's
a
worse.
City. It's, that's what I think drives New Yorkers crazy.
Okay.
Is you're like, this is supposed to be a booming city
understood.
With all the opportunities, but no one will run to the opportunity is what it feels like.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, but at the same time, yes, I love that I have actually been able to relax more here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like everybody here, I think, hustles in private when it comes to self-hustle.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to New York, there's this pride of like, I worked 70 hours and I will work till
the
wee
exactly.
hours in the morning and blah, blah, blah. And life is hard and that's what it is.
Like, totally. I couldn't agree more. And I also think that I am a person who does that.
Do that. Yeah,
and yet do. I'm very opposed to rise and grind culture.
Yes.
Like, I don't think I'm cool because I work hard.
Yeah.
Like, that's an artifact of my job. That's a reality I accept because of the other good things it brings me. But I don't think that makes me cool or mm-hmm. better than other people.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I'm jealous of the people who seem to have figured out the income that I make with much less stress. So I got it wrong, really.
No, I mean, because you are doing what you love.
Yeah, I am very happy. Yeah,
and it is, you know, it is an impressive field. It's not easy. Everybody knows. So, I mean, I commend you.
Thank you.
You know,
thank you.
I commend you.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a few questions first about Survivor that
I want
to get to. So we talked dating relationships in general, but I'm more loose with this pod now.
You
I
love
what
it.
I mean, I just want to flow. I'm like, I want to have people on that I actually like talking to. So
that makes I just think also I'm a big podcast consumer, so I'm an only child, and I've lived alone ever since my sophomore year of college.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And so, but I cannot be alone with my thoughts. And so do you know Glengarry Glen Ross, the David Mamet play? There's a movie, it's with like Al Pacino, Alec Baldwin, and one of the famous lines from it is ABC, always be closing.
Okay.
You've probably
that
heard
from
that.
Sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so my friend and I once were, this guy stole it for The Bachelor, ABC, always be Cam. Mm. And my friend and I were watching The Bachelor and said, okay, like, what's your ABC? And mine is always be consuming. And so I'm always listening to a podcast, listening to an audiobook, reading. Like, I have to have something on so I'm not alone with my thoughts. So anyway, long story long, I'm a big podcast consumer, and I do think that the podcasts I like the most often have very little to do with content and much more to do with chemistry. And and mm-hmm. like, I listened to one that started in 2006, and it's these two guys who just have spent years and years together, and they just shoot the shit and read random human interest stories, mm-hmm. and they play off each other so well and are so their ability to yes and each other is, I hope to internalize some of it because they are so funny.
Oh yeah,
it's so good.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I do have a few Survivor questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, my first question, and I probably could have looked this up, but I won't.
No,
ask the source.
Don't look up anything yet.
Okay. I, since I was young and started getting my period,
oh, okay.
Was like,
yeah, this is a classic question.
Okay, I know it's Survivor and we're in the woods and we're supposed to have no help. There's no way they don't give you pads or tampons, right?
Women, so there is a medicine box where you're allowed to obviously bring, like, they've had a trans contestant. You're allowed to bring the things that you need to, like, maintain your equilibrium.
So any general medicine.
Yes. I believe they do not. I don't know what the policies are these days. They don't love casting people who are on like SSRIs and stuff like that, because they had a woman lie and like go cold turkey off of them and then kind of like go crazy on.
Yeah. Which.
It was not good.
It's also a show where it kind of is designed to make you go a little crazy.
Well,
want some drama. They want some craze.
And also you are so hungry and so sleep deprived that. No one is at their best.
Yes.
And yeah, living 24/7 with the same people and also not eating and not sleeping is a disaster.
Yes.
So there's a medicine box and you are allowed. So in it are feminine care products, bug spray, sunscreen, Purell. But you're only really supposed to use that if you need to change your contacts. They don't want people.
Oh,
that's like kind of a special one for those people. And then your little personal set of medications that your doctor has to submit a note saying like they need these.
Interesting. So if you're on birth control.
Yeah, I'm sure you could bring that. Yeah.
Okay.
I have an IUD, so I didn't bring anything. But
so they allow you to take your contacts out and put glasses on.
Yes.
Basically, which actually is very nice. I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So this makes me a little more. All right.
And the code word for, God, oh man, it's been too long. There's a code word for using the bathroom and there's a code word for going to the medicine box. And one is going to the coconut grove and one is going to the, because in, just in case they need to use that piece of footage where you reference walking away, they don't want people saying, I'm going to the medicine box. They want people saying,
okay, so it stays a mystery.
By the way, and like walking, I'm like, hey guys, I'm going to go to the coconut grove. And that's a signal to producers to like, don't bother following me. I'm not going to do anything that's interesting for the plot. I'm just going to go do this thing.
Okay. All right. So that's a little behind the scenes action.
Yeah.
Okay. The other question I had was basically, how much do they actually let you starve and not have food?
Oh, completely.
So not even water.
Oh, well, no. They give you, so there are wells, but the wells are set pieces. So I think the biggest thing going into Survivor is knowing that that is drinkable water.
Okay.
Production is filling it up with giant things of like Arrowhead. And it's a PVC lined.
Yeah. Clearly, I have not really watched
bucket.
The show, as I don't even
know
if this exists. But I've truly been curious, like, will they basically let someone starve?
So, they will let you starve for sure. You get a set amount of rice when the season starts, and if you guys eat it all in one day or spill it, you have to negotiate with the host to get more.
Because I've seen enough of it of you win a challenge, you might get
so you can get reward food.
And stuff like that.
But I will say that runs through you immediately, and like everyone just gets so sick. It's a weird trade-off where it's like, all right.
It's almost like because your body's not used to eating not only no food, but no complex food.
Yeah.
So anything somewhat complex, like, I actually think I saw a clip and it was Oreos.
Yeah.
It was the whole whatever contest was immunity plus
Oreos and peanut butter.
And people freaked out.
Yep.
Oh, that's so interesting. Because I don't know if this happened on your season or any of the seasons, but has anyone had to be taken off the show due to just, I don't know, famine? Like,
actually, probably not food, but more other medical complications.
Yeah.
Like infection and something broken, where if you want any degree of medical attention that's higher than keep it dry, you need to go. They will tell you to evacuate.
Like, you have to choose.
Yeah,
to
you have
leave.
To choose.
Interesting. So before the show, I'm curious, did you kind of research this stuff and do any prep to almost train your body to last longer?
So I weaned myself off coffee.
Oh, that's a smart one.
Because I didn't want to get any caffeine headaches. Actually, so the morning I woke up after being voted out, I was the first person up because I was still like rising with the shred of light.
Yeah.
And I was the first one up and I made an entire pot of coffee in the accommodations because they still sequester you after you get voted out. And I made this entire pot of coffee and then all they had were these teeny teacups. And I was like, this isn't going to freaking cut it. And so I literally poured it just into a cereal bowl and was using like both my hands to
just take it to the face.
House coffee. Yeah, it was great. I also stopped wearing sunglasses for a while.
That
because
is very smart.
The light is so bright. It's crazy. And then I really let myself eat whatever I wanted leading up because
interesting.
I was just like, I don't really care if I gain a little weight because I'm gonna lose it, so it is what it is.
Interesting. I didn't know if you tried to take a strategy of almost like getting your body used to fasting.
No, see, I think that would have been. I also did. Oh, and I also did. I'm really bad at balance, and so I did some like balance training to try and improve
that. That's smart.
Yeah.
Did you find the challenges much harder than you assumed they would be?
Yes and no. They're like, I will never, or who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in life, right? Where I feel that it is unlikely I will ever feel the level of adrenaline you feel when you're told, like, go. It is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
The weight, it's, I can't replicate. It's wild. I will say the most probably, like, what I wish, the one moment I wish I could relive that was unbelievable was walking out onto the first challenge where the amount of people and the set, it's wild because there are all these cameras and like there are tons of cameras and booms, right, for the whole setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of us has our own dedicated camera.
So it's like they don't cut it live.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And so they basically have like, so they have the scene as a whole and then they have each of us individually in case they want to, you know, edit it to zoom in on a particular mm-hmm. person because they did something really relevant,
damn,
whether mess up or succeed. Right. And it's, you cannot prepare yourself for the level of like the size of the production.
Oh.
It was really cool.
It also, honestly, this is funny. I wonder if that was later years because, you know, the show was super hot when it first came out. Obviously, still has a big following. But
yeah,
that's when I remember I was somewhat
passionate
keeping up.
Core.
Right. I was somewhat keeping up with, God, I think one of the girls' names was Kelly. Am I crazy? From one of the early seasons? I don't even remember.
Probably.
But there was some scene, and I believe the challenge was everybody had to stand on this like peg that was high up above the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a small space. And the challenge
yeah,
was literally who can stand the longest.
Yes. I love a who wants it the most challenge.
Yeah.
Those are
and
great.
It literally went all day.
Yep.
And two of the women decided, oh, let's take our clothes off and see if that gets any of these men off.
I totally
their
know
post.
I totally know what you're talking about. Yes,
and
I know exactly what you're talking
I
about.
I was watching something and it was interviewing crew people or the director, and the director was like, of course I have all camera men.
Of
I got
course,
no
yeah.
reactions on the shot because everyone just panned
yeah.
to the two naked women themselves.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I mean, big kudos to those ladies.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, brilliant plan.
Yeah. I mean, something I wish, and this I think applies in equal force to shows like The Bachelor and Survivor, I really, really wish those shows found a way to spend a little bit more time on the like interstitial moments where I think the most kind of humanizing, fun, and interesting pieces are us hanging out at camp, telling funny stories. Like there was a story where a couple guys on the tribe, one was telling the story where, you know, when you can't, where you're making no noise laughing?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the best.
We were losing it. The cameramen and the boom operators, everyone.
Oh,
they
everyone?
It would have been unusable because they were shit. It was Blair Witch style.
Yeah.
Everyone was dying.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I just, like, wish stuff like that would make it, you know?
Yeah.
I just think that's, like, more interesting and fun than some of the
oh,
stuff that gets
sure.
showed. For The Bachelor, I think it has different value, right? Because I don't want to hear people just talk about their relationship to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually like to, it's like show me, don't tell me, right?
Yes.
Where I don't want to be told like, wow, you're so vulnerable. No, okay, sure,
yeah.
I believe you, but no, actually show me an interaction that led to that.
Yeah, or it cuts to someone being like, so-and-so and so-and-so are so close.
Yeah, exactly.
So just show me them hanging out.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like with The Bachelor specifically, so much of that stuff is edited in post. And it's partly to really villainize the people that they determine the villain and really make look good the other people. So it's like, you know, someone they know that's going to get cut, they're like, we don't give a shit about this friendship.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a hustle in itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, those challenges, man. I remember watching, my show was more the Real World Road Rules challenge.
Oh, love. I love the challenge.
But like watching it, just being, you know, quote, a young athlete.
Yeah.
I was kind of cocky of like, I should be on the show. I'd crush
you,
all of these challenges.
That show, the injuries that they get, insane. I'm like, what are you doing?
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Or also, there are a lot of things that it's like, okay, we're not America Ninja Warrior.
Exactly.
Where there would be challenges, like, women just do not have the upper body strength.
Totally.
For this, and it's insane that you're expecting us to.
Yeah.
But especially the elimination.
Yeah.
Where the elimination part, I was like, I think I'd rather just take the survivor voting.
Like the hall brawl and the pole wrestles. Those are
brutally
nuts.
Brutally beating each other up.
Yeah, those are awful.
So you're like, even if I win, I'm going to go back half injured.
Yes.
From a fight I had to have.
Yeah.
But those still like amped me up.
Totally.
And they make
they're
me
great.
Feel like, I could do these challenges.
Yeah.
Why not?
Again, though, a reason I love that is because there was crazy challenges and then there were drunk single people making out. Amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible formula. Yeah. I want that.
It's like there's two ways to get the people to love you. Either you're good at it and likable, or you have a relationship that they want to stay.
I will say that, so the casting director of Survivor, a piece of advice that she gave me that if ever people DM me asking for like casting advice is you want people to either want to get a beer with you or throw a beer at you.
Hilarious. Very true, though.
Yeah. And that's good advice.
Especially talk about Bachelor franchise. I am convinced they make the Bachelor or Bachelorette keep certain people around.
Oh, no. That is confirmed.
Especially the season with Hannah was one of the only ones I really watched.
That was a great season.
And I forget the name of the awful guy, but he made it to the top four.
So apparently she really did like him.
Really?
Yeah, that's the one. Because my understanding is that they developed this
Hannah Brown, by the way. Sorry.
Oh,
I remember the whole name. And he was the one that, there's the famous
Luke
line
P.
she says. Yes, that's what it is. And she says the famous
I had
line
sex
like,
and Jesus
I've had
still
sex and Jesus still loves
so
me.
Good.
So fuck off.
I love her.
Very iconic.
I think she's a fantastic TV. You want a certain level, and this is why, sorry, I'm now just on a TED talk about what I think makes good reality TV. Like, the reason the Jersey Shore is so good is because, especially season one, right? Not a single ounce of self-consciousness.
Oh, no.
They just didn't care.
No.
There is no level of, well, what is this going to look like one day?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How is this, like, what are the DMs, the horrible DMs I'm going to get on Instagram and Twitter? You know, they're not worried about that at all.
No.
And so, and I actually think there was when Hannah Brown was selected, a lot of people were like, this is a terrible choice. She's a mess. And I'm like, you guys, that is exactly why she's good.
Mm-hmm.
She is not, there's a level of not polished that is great for reality TV. And I think that really bore out. And my understanding about the Luke P situation is that they connected on Christianity and stuff really early.
That makes sense.
And it was this sort of very instant click on something that was very important to her
mm-hmm.
that she had trouble letting go of, essentially, is what
I've
come to understand.
Well, it's also hard when majority of contestants on those shows are typically not religious people.
Right.
So,
although, interestingly, The Bachelor has like a big Christian contingent.
They have had a good chunk. They've had a chunk more than most. But it's like, put it this way. Say you have 5 super Christian guys and then 20 are not.
Yeah.
And you really only click or find attractive one out of the
right.
5 Christian guys. It's like, all right, he already has a leg up by so much just based on that.
Exactly. But no, The Bachelor franchise, I think, exists. You know, like the 3 Venn diagrams and then the center. It's beauty pageants,
mm-hmm.
Christians, NFL practice squad, Bachelor. That's my.
That was pretty accurate, honestly.
But
damn. I know. I honestly wish they did a season that is like 35 and up.
Well, they're doing the olds.
No,
doing
but
the
isn't
elderly.
That like extreme?
No. It's the true elderly, which I'm going to be fascinated by because a core part of a Bachelor podcast I love is Game of Roses, and they have these sort of constructs for like elements of the game, and one of those is the PTC, personal trauma card. And so they were, one of the things they were speculating about is in this old season, everyone's going to be like, my person died. My person died. Like, they're going to have, like, crazy trauma.
Or they're also not going to have the phrasing that the rest of the Bachelor contestants use. They're not going to say boundaries.
Exactly.
And trauma alone.
Exactly.
And my person. Like, oh my God. They are going to be back to traditional old school for the most part.
I'm thinking about falling in love with you. You know, I think that I might one day could like you. I love the hedges. They're so good.
Anyway. Oh, okay. I'm excited for that. I'll rewatch it for that.
Okay, cool.
There was only a couple seasons I got super into.
Yeah, it's a terrible show.
But it's good terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, or that's the ultimate constantly consuming, like, I can have that on in the background.
Yeah.
I don't need all the details.
For me, it's old Real Housewives.
Oh,
go, like, all the way back.
That's
like, early OC, early Atlanta. Like, oh.
I'm deep in the game.
Yeah.
I just got Peacock to fucking catch up on everything.
Peacock is a really good... You guys, Peacock is, I think, my favorite streaming service.
Okay. The app has also significantly improved.
It's really
good. It's been out for a year. A lot of the bugs are fixed. Yeah. I caved. And I binged catching up on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And the last two seasons have been the best two seasons just because of the trial and everything.
Homeless,
with
not
Erica
toothless.
Jane. Ugh, it's great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, let's get to a little bit of a conversation and talk. All right, so, Jesus Christ, relationship talk. Okay, so one fun question I like asking my guests is, if you could create a dating rule for, let's say, women to follow first, what rule would you create?
I mean, I feel like I have a lot.
Oh, if you have a lot, then throw them at me.
I would say I have a lot of, like, guidepost principles, I feel like, where, for example, I am a pretty strong, and I think this one's pretty accepted, I'm a pretty strong believer in not sleeping with somebody on the first date, and the only occasion that you should do that on is if you are willing to never speak to them again. I think you really have to be willing to completely let go.
Or is it more that you won't care if you never hear from them again?
I think that at least, it needs to be... you need to go in a little glass half empty if you make that choice. And then anything above absolutely never hearing from them again is a bonus.
It feels like an expectation, though,
yeah,
to me. Because I guess that's how I would see it. Although I have never done it. I'm not opposed to doing it.
Yeah.
But, it just has never happened for me naturally. Like, I've never really wanted to.
Yeah.
I've never been on a first date like, let's fucking move it, you know? So I'm not opposed, but... I would agree with that one, I'd say.
I would also say you will never regret not sending that text.
Oh, so you're more on the side of, like, not sending.
In certain situations. I will. So, actually, let me retract that for a second.
Okay.
I believe, so I heard this, I think this is like a French saying. Of course it's French. It's like a very French thing to say. You will regret doing it, and you will regret not doing it. And so just decide which regret you want to live with more.
Okay, but this feels more in the context of when something is already moving in a direction.
Agreed.
Because I would fight that rule on initiating, or whether it's the text, or I'm imagining, like, you're at a party or a bar and you see someone and they're cute.
Yeah.
In that scenario, I go, ooh, I regret way more when I do nothing.
Then, yes.
When I make no attempt.
Yes.
But the not sending the text, I actually would more say, and I've said this before, of I think men really only learn when you do not respond.
I agree with that. I think that you cannot lecture somebody into better behavior.
Yes.
I think behavior trains behavior. And so I'm a really big fan of if they do not, like, confirm the day before, I will lie and say I had plans. Essentially. So, like, they then text, if we do not have a firm plan for a date.
A firm plan. Okay. That
makes
sense.
Oh, no.
Okay.
If we have, like, a place and a time,
mm-hmm.
I will show up at that place and time. But if it's, we should go out on Tuesday, if I don't hear from you by Monday night, I am not available on Tuesday night anymore. I don't care if it's true or a lie.
Okay. Yeah. I like that one. Because I've had some people on this pod say, you know, we'll say Tuesday at 8 in a place, and they don't get the confirmation day before or day of, yeah. and they just will not show up.
Oh, that's
and
extreme,
said,
I think.
That's rude.
I think that's extreme.
To me, that's rude. Or that's something I go, confirm yourself.
Yes.
If you really honestly think you're going to show up to this place and they will not be there, mm-hmm. confirm yourself.
Yeah.
What is stopping you?
Yeah.
But no, that's just something I feel like you learned from your own experiences. The yeah. vague plan is no plan.
Totally agreed.
So if they text you that morning, you're like, we didn't really put anything in stone.
If it's pretty early in the morning, I think I'd let it slide. I think my rule might be noon.
Okay. Noon. All right. So this is a bit of a classic rule, but I'm not anti.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
not
yeah.
anti. Because I agree. Of no time, no place. You give me that. Okay. We'll, you know, figure it out closer to the date.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. But yeah, that day, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Any other rules? I don't know, rules you would make? Are there any specifically you would say for men?
I mean, I think men know this, right? Like, make a plan.
They really don't, though.
It's crazy. It's so actually easy.
It
and
is.
That's the thing. Like, it's so easy.
It really is.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. It's like, that's the only thing we're going to say to our sons is like, make a plan.
Yeah, just make a plan,
and pay
guys.
For the first couple dates.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you feel about this? Paying for dates. What's the move? Do you offer? Do you reach?
It's interesting because I still listen to Finding Mr. Height, and I know that you are no longer even offering.
It's a new thing.
I've heard.
I don't even flinch from my bag.
Yeah.
I do not fucking care.
Yeah. So I haven't been on a date in a few months. And so, is that true? Yeah, I think that's right. Because I was seeing this cross street man mm-hmm. for a little bit every once in a while, and he always paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a date, there was definitely like a random first date I went on kind of in that mix or two where I just sat back. I was like, I'm not, yeah, you're getting this. We're not. So yeah, I think I kind of fell that, like cut that way recently.
Yeah.
I objectively think a man should pay for the first date.
Yeah, I'm like on the first couple now. So that's the point, is I'm sitting there going, most of these are first dates.
Yeah.
Maybe a second.
Yeah.
And my theory is just, it's more expensive to be a woman, and that's it.
I'm fine with that philosophy,
And if anyone fought me, I would be like, oh, if you want to split it, I'll happily split it. I just am going to make them ask me. I'm not going to offer it.
Yeah, I think that's really
because
fair.
I'm like, you want me to split the bill, you better have the balls to ask me to do it.
I'm with you.
And if anyone ever made a comment to me about not paying, I would just look at him and go, well, you know, if I had a son, I would raise him to pay for the first date. And that's the end of my argument.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, we would raise our kids differently then. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Done.
And also, you know, like, I understand that for men, that might make it more, to your point, women have more expenses in various areas of their lives. This might be an area that's more expensive for men. And
I feel like it's the only area that's fucking more expensive for them.
That's probably true.
So that's why I have no sympathy to it.
Yeah.
Is when men are like, ugh, dating, it's so expensive. I'm like, well, you could have a better filtering process. You could go on less dates.
Totally. Or you also can choose the date you go on.
That's the whole thing.
I'm not fancy. I don't need to be wined and dined on our first date. In fact, I would prefer not.
Exactly. And that's why I hate the plan thing where you throw to me to pick a place.
Right.
Because
totally.
I'm like, well, I'm not paying.
Yes.
So you pick.
Yes.
And the laziest excuse is, I had this recently on the app. Someone was like, well, I don't really know spots in that area. And I have
you
just
sure as hell don't
moved
know.
Here. I just
oh my
moved
God.
Here. I go, neither do I. Google
so,
it.
Can I ask you a question about something my friend Matt just did?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So he lives in, now that you kind of know the area a little bit better, he lives in like mid-Wilshire.
Okay.
And this girl that he was set up with lives in Venice. So on a Friday night, that's going to be trafficky.
Mm-hmm.
She picked Friday night based on her availability.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I'll give you a choice. You come to me and I'll set everything up.
Oh.
You meet me halfway and you pick the place. Or I'm sorry, no. And I come, no, I'm, wow, I totally fucked that up. Edit that
you
up.
You come all the way to her.
Yes, it's that.
Okay.
So I come all the way to you and you pick the place. You meet me halfway and I'll pick the place.
I am not mad at that.
I thought
that was
good.
I would gladly do it if it meant I didn't have to travel.
Yes.
However, the one thing I would have told him to add, I don't know if this is dangerous to add.
Yeah.
I almost feel like the danger is the price range. So you can almost go baller and go pick whatever place you want. Do not worry about the price.
Fair.
Or you could say
he's someone he would he definitely pays. Like he pays for
well, not the paying. It's more the price part because that's where everybody gets uncomfortable.
Hung up. Yeah.
I think overall great.
Yeah.
I'm all for what he said. I think that's fun. And you also are basically going, hey, I'm willing to travel to you. This is the one thing I'm going to ask you to do.
Yeah.
Because the bride side is like, I could pick a place I could just fucking walk to.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah. And nice she fired back immediately. She Nueva 8 p.m. See you there.
Doom. There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
That's hot. Let's all do that.
Yeah. I thought it was a great strategy.
Yeah. That is. I'll say that is the exception to the rule of if the man is willing to trek fully to me and it's the neighborhood I've lived in.
Yes.
And but even then I do the move of if they didn't say pick the whole fucking thing. If they were like, I'll come to you. I'm not really sure it's near you. What's some good spots? I always give them three options.
Oh.
Which basically will be like, hey, I like all of these three. They're all close. And it gives them a second to go do the research.
You, yeah.
If you're really worried about the money, I'm giving you the opportunity to go look at the pricing and the menu. And I will often strategically pick a little bit of different pricing.
That's not drastic. That's smart.
But it's like, all right, here you go.
Yeah.
I'm cool with this dive bar. I'm also cool with this wine spot and this other thing.
Totally.
Like, who the hell cares?
No, I think that's a good strategy.
Oh, okay. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think if there was, any, was anything else I wanted to ask. I did have a TikTok that I got to just play the audio for us to listen to. That is perfect for you because it's actually referencing dating and something from learning from law school. Hold on, let me pull it up real quick. I know it's like right here. Where are you at? Okay, boom. This girl. I forget her name, but she pops up in my feed a lot. Okay. So I'm just going to play this. We can listen to it.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a little legal tip that's going to help you when it comes to dating or other aspects of your life. Very early on in law school, you learn that there's a difference between something being necessary and something being sufficient.
Oh.
Just because something's necessary doesn't mean it's sufficient. What does this mean? Just because something exists does not mean that it's enough to bring about a series of events. Create a list. What is necessary for a man to get access to you? Kindness, integrity, respect, good morning text. And the next time that you want to get so hyped, look at that list and say, is what he doing just necessary, like just enough? Or is it sufficient to be with me? And 9 out of 10 times, you'll realize that things that you're getting so hyped up over, the things that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing this, they're just necessary, baby. And necessary does not mean sufficient. I'm going to give you a little legal tip.
Thank you for catering this to me. That's
oh,
so nice
I, thought, I thought it was perfect. That
That's hilarious.
I got so excited.
Okay,
so I
got to
save
what?
This for work.
So what is so funny, so my dad had, or I think this came from my grandpa. My dad's dad has this theory called, I'm sure it's just some sort of fallacy, but and I'm sure it probably already has a name. Right in. He calls it the rule of doubles, which is you will like say something or learn something new or kind of like pull a vocab word that you might not normally use.
Okay.
And in short order, it will reappear.
Mm.
I had this exact conversation with Matt on our walk on Saturday morning.
Oh, okay.
Where he was talking about the date that resulted in the setup that I just described. Mm-hmm. That date, he was like, she was perfectly nice and, you know, had this like nice present, like presented very well. And, you know, it kind of, you know, reminded me of he was like, I would call it a good, like, she's a good marketer, you know?
Okay.
Everything was, like, presented very well, but I feel like I didn't, you know, get to know, whatever.
Hmm.
And he said, and he was like, you know, kindness, da, 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 similar examples. He goes, to me, those are the table stakes, which is another way to say that. And I said, oh, it's so funny. On the LSAT, you know, we would call that a necessary but not sufficient condition. And then I actually, and on the drive here, I was talking to my mom about she and my dad are like looking for houses. And my dad's excited about this one that my mom doesn't like. Hope my dad doesn't say this. She told me not to tell him. I use that expression again. I think it is really a useful construct. And I think it's true that, and I will introduce like a slight conflict, right? And this is actually something that Allie and I have talked about where it is a necessary condition of the world for the sun to go up and down every day. I also think sunsets and sunrises are really beautiful.
Mm.
And I'm not going to say, well, that's just necessary to my life today. Like, no, I'm going to take a minute and really appreciate like a really stunning one, right?
Right. It's not to mean you're not appreciative of
yeah.
those things.
Yeah. And so I don't want to write off good behavior on either gender's part as like, well, you're just behaving at the bar. Like, that was good enough. Mm-hmm. Do something. Do me one better and then you'll get some praise.
Right.
Or whatever. However, the point is well taken that just because someone's a nice, hopefully you're dating a lot of nice guys and not a lot of toxic men, right? Mm-hmm. Just because they're a nice guy doesn't mean you absolutely that they're the right guy for you.
Right.
And so I think that's great. I totally agree with that.
I feel like this TikTok for me just made me sit there and say, oh, it's just how every time you date someone who is good to you, the bar is raised.
Yes.
So it's like you just have a little bit of more expectation of, you know, the last boyfriend did X, Y, and Z, and I really liked that, and I expect that in my next partner.
Totally.
Because there's, I don't know what exactly it is, but there's some saying someone said to me of don't tell people how badly you've been treated in the past. Because that kind of gives the impression of things you put up with.
That's a really interesting point.
Whereas if you just said like, oh yeah, like, my ex used to get me flowers all the time. I really liked that. Even if it's a lie.
Yeah.
It makes that person go, oh, they like this and I should do that.
And also,
and that's the standard they expect.
People tend to be competitive, especially men.
Yes.
And so like tap into that.
Yeah. I don't think it's bad. That I don't see as a game move.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think so either.
I like that a little bit. It's funny, too, of something I wanted to bring up was we were having a conversation, and it's something that I think a lot of women do, but I will do it because I am naturally a very easygoing person.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a lot that really bothers me and I really care about, and I'm not very uptight about a lot of things.
Ugh, what a blessing.
Well, here's the problem in dating and relationships is I actually can be very, very confrontational as a person in general. But with dating relationships, I actually am more likely to go, I feel like that's being difficult. Mm. And I made a comment to you about something, and it was basically like not putting my needs and wants first.
Okay.
And I said something along the lines of, I just don't really want to be difficult. I don't feel like bringing it up. It feels like I'm just being difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And you said to me, you're having sex with him. You could be difficult. He gets to have sex with you. You can be difficult. And I was like, damn, never looked at it like that, but I should. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm letting you have sex with me. You know what? I am difficult.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel about I got into a fight with a guy friend of mine who he wants to marry. This is the guy I have like the most conflict with in my friend group. Luckily, he doesn't live here anymore, so it doesn't come up a lot anymore. But he wants to marry a woman who would be satisfied with a piece of string as an engagement ring. And he thinks it's a red flag when a woman wants a certain standard of engagement ring. And he dated this girl for a while that love was like a Swiftie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Taylor Swift. She's fine. I'm not a Swiftie.
Yeah.
And I was like, is her favorite song Paper Rings? Because that'd be fucking great for you. Anyway,
I was going to say, doesn't she have some Invisible
sure
String
does.
Song? Is that about
so,
a ring?
The Invisible String is actually cute, but no, the song Paper Ring is about a paper ring.
I am offending the Swifties. I'm so sorry.
At least I knew that. So one of my, like, I don't think this is it's not a direct line, but it kind of gets to what you were saying about, like, women pay more for things in life. In theory, that woman is going to, if you have one kid, in theory, that woman is for 9 months going to go through hell and for many hours go through much worse hell
mm-hmm.
to give you a child.
Mm-hmm.
Get her a JD ring that she is going to wear on her finger for every day for the rest of her life and find, bring, and get joy from. And, like, good God, what is wrong with you?
Yeah. That's just, and it's something that, I'm sorry, did you mention the name of the friend? Because this is rude if I ask a cheap question.
Yeah, no,
I'm basically
ahead.
Curious, like, is this person also naturally cheap or no?
I don't know that he is.
Or it's just an extremity that he's saying.
Yeah.
About the ring situation.
I think it's specifically
that
issue.
It sounds like it's also the guy that goes, I'm not going to ask her what kind of ring she wants. It's a gift, and I get to pick it out.
I could see that.
And it's like, buddy, it sounds like you've never been to this point with another person.
He definitely has not, yeah.
But it's like, the engagement is not this big surprise.
Correct.
I had to fight my brother on this because he was very, I want it to be a surprise. And his fucking plan was to buy a fake ring,
oh my
propose
God.
With a fake ring. And then they go shopping for the ring together. And I was like, that is absolutely ridiculous. You don't think she has a friend you can ask?
Yeah.
And her mom ended up telling him what kind of ring she wanted. And I'm like, see?
Yeah, easy.
Someone's going to fucking know.
Yes,
okay?
Always.
It's still a surprise. We don't know when you're doing it. But it's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're ordering a ring online because he needs, she's very small. She's 4'9". She needs a ring that's 3.5".
That's
okay?
Wild.
He has to order it online. There is no choice.
I think
so
my finger,
get the right one,
my
dog.
Finger's like an 8.
Yeah, I'm a 7.
Yeah, I have really big knuckles.
Yeah, it couldn't even go on my pinky, man.
That's insane.
Pretty bad. But I was sitting there like, come on, man, you're going to take the gamble on, you know, ordering a ring online that's not the right one?
Yeah, no.
What are you doing?
That's way too big of a price tag for that.
Right? But I was like, anyone I told that plan to was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
That it's just, I don't know. It's so interesting because I love how men also complain like, oh, the whole wedding is all about the girl. And it's all the girls' day, and it's, you know, that's why you guys care about it more. It's like, well, also the tradition is my family's paying for it.
Correct.
So that is why it's about
me. Have fun planning
the
rehearsal dinner, darling. I'd love for you to do that.
Exactly.
Enjoy. Know what it's like to plan something.
Or all the men that complain, I'm always like, well, what do you want for your wedding? If I asked you right now, what are the things you want for your wedding? They have no answer.
Yeah, so I actually, a long time ago, I read this in some magazine where it said, a piece of advice was for a bride to ask her fiancé to say, like, okay, what are your priorities? Mm. Is it you really want a particular, like, chocolate cake? Is it you really want, you know, this many groomsmen, and then I'll figure it out in the bridesmaids? You know, whatever. Like,
something.
Figure out what the person's priorities are, and then being like, I will absolutely work those in, and then, like, I got the rest.
Yeah, because they don't care. I'm very like, don't be mad that it's the day is about me, or you think it's more about me. Because it's so funny they say that, and I said, the whole time, though, you and I are standing next to each other.
Yeah.
It's not just me.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, the moment you enter the church or enter whatever the room. However, I was like, bro, have you never been to a wedding? There's a moment you walk down with your mom.
Yeah.
There's also your moment. Like,
this
not
is
everyone
crazy.
Stands up. It's wild how furious men
well,
get.
Well, put that in the program.
And
expected to stand when room enters.
Please rise.
That's crazy.
But it's like most men at the end, they just don't care.
Yeah, most don't.
So it's very like, don't be mad when you don't care.
Yeah.
Like, and I said, your reward is the day is very less stressful for you.
Seriously. Have you read Mindy Kaling's books?
I think I read one of them. What was the first one she wrote? I forget.
One of them is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me.
That's the one I read.
Okay. Yeah. And then maybe I don't remember the name of the second one, but one of them has a very lengthy chapter on being a bridesmaid.
Mm.
And
yes, that is in the first book.
Oh, that is in the first book. Okay, great. And
how much work it is.
Yes. And she talks about how they are, she's like, the boys are like drinking beer and tossing around a fucking football, and the women are literally lugging tables across a lawn.
Yes.
And dead on.
It's absolutely insane. And I'm a bridesmaid in the wedding coming up. Appreciate you, Anne, if you're listening, and Marcus, you know. But it is one of those things I'm like, damn, you do it a few times. You're like, I'm fucking done. I don't care if I'm in this at all.
Yeah.
You know? The string thing, though, fucking kills me.
Because, that was wild.
Because here's my thing. And I know maybe some people don't have this privilege, but my rule for myself is I would never ask for a ring that I couldn't buy myself.
Oh, yeah. That's fair.
And that's how I feel about it. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, because I also am not 100% sure on the pricing. But I'm also someone that is not opposed to a lab diamond either. I really don't care.
I'm not opposed to not a diamond.
I feel like most people I know right now are getting the lab one because of just
child
labor alone.
Yeah.
People are like, actually, now it feels very unethical if I buy a real one.
Yeah.
Right?
No, I personally would like a vintage ring.
You were telling me about
that. And I'm not sure what I would need to look at, I think, a good assortment to figure out exactly what that looks like, but I definitely don't, like, I don't want something modern.
Yeah, because also your friend with the string, I've posed this question to my friend before. That was all, he was the gift guy, the, like, well, I should pick it out, or I had a friend, they had a grandmother ring, and it was a family ring, and he was like, why do I have to go and buy a ring if I have this perfectly good ring? Like, he was worried that it wouldn't be good enough, or she wouldn't like it, or she would say, I want my own ring.
I would love anything with meaning to me is inherently better. I would love a family ring. And if it has to be negotiated to be reset or something, then we do that.
Well, I thought that's kind of the compromise, right?
Yeah.
And he was talking to me about it, and I said, well, this is where you kind of get fucked. Is it a, you know, squarish shape, or is it a round shape? I was like, that's really the big thing that people are picking.
Yeah.
And funny, he actually ended up buying a ring. This is years later, by the way, than we talked about it. So I was like, well, I guess you got over the whole thing of he was throwing some stink about buying a ring. And I said to him, and I'm curious if your friend feels this way, of like, she should be happy if I just give her string or got her a basic ring. I'd be like, okay, what if you gave the girl the ring and she doesn't like it? let's say the stone isn't as big as she wants, and she says to you, I would like a little bigger stone, and I'm happy to pay the difference. Does he care then?
Probably not.
You know, like, so...
Yeah.
But at the same time, she didn't accept your ring. But all of a sudden, now that I put my money on the table, it's fine.
Right.
But I'm not a bitch because I didn't accept it. Like, either way, I'm not accepting the ring.
Right.
But the fact that if I looked at you and was like, this isn't actually what I wanted. Like, I love you, but I got to wear this every day. Like,
yeah.
Can we just, you know? Because my theory with the ring is like, I don't want to do the upgrade years later.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll want what I want and I'll just keep it.
Yeah. I mean, so my mom, like my mom's engagement ring is incredibly modest. Mm-hmm. And
so is my mom because I got engaged right after college.
And also like my parents had absolutely nothing when they got engaged.
Yep. Same with my parents.
And she now has a lot of like much nicer things, but the engagement ring is also, I don't know, to me, it's also about, it's a point in time. That's where you and that partner were at that mm-hmm. moment in your lives. And yeah. like that's, and that time, especially if you have kids in your lives, like really change in that way, that time will never be true again, you know? And it's mm-hmm. nice to have like a memory. I don't know. I'm a very sentimental person.
I'm more sentimental. Yeah. Than me. Yeah. Yeah, because my mom, she actually, I don't know, I think it was 25 years they were married. She went to change the setting.
Mm-hmm.
Also because trends change, whatever. But she kept the original diamond.
Yeah, love that.
And my dad still like throws a fuss about it, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a little silly.
He'll be like, I don't even recognize that ring. It's not the ring I picked out. And I'm like, can you fucking chill, dude? Like, really?
I don't even recognize it. That's such a funny, petty thing to say.
Yeah. And he said, like, when they had the conversation of kind of what ring you want, and my mom said what she wanted, he was like, well, your mom said, and I'll never ask for anything else again.
So okay, well, just, that's a lie. You should have known that. Yeah, I mean, like, that's ridiculous.
Nothing else?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
But that's like whenever, as, you know, as half Jewish, half Catholic person, as an 8-year-old, I'll never ask for anything again, God, if you just do this.
Yeah,
it's, like, it's all a lie.
Yeah, you're like, all right, I'll have a few requests later
yeah,
in life.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, we do have to wrap this up. I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
what's the last
this
thing?
Is lovely.
Last thing I want to ask you, or is there anything we didn't cover that you want to, I guess, share? Any wisdom, or I don't know.
No, I know nothing.
You're like, I know nothing. Should we do a woo-woo manifest now that we're in L.A.?
Oh, should I like lead us in a?
Yes, let's do. Do we want to do a? You
no.
You can. No, I cannot get on board with affirmations.
No, me either.
I'll laugh. Let's do. You can pick three things that your partner is, your future partner is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What are your three?
High degree of selflessness.
Oh, okay.
Enjoys being a member of my family. Like, is willing to integrate into my family and to some degree. That doesn't have to be,
like,
you know, every holiday, you know, whatever. And then shows up for me.
Mm.
And that needs to be in sort of like big and small ways. Like, it needs to be important to them to be on time for dinner with my parents. It needs to be important to them to come with me as a plus one to a work event, even though it's silly
okay.
or whatever, you know, like, and so it's like, I actually have had let me know what you think. I've had this fight with a friend where I think it's actually easy to be there for people in emergencies because it's really easy to drop everything and say like, oh, I'm so sorry. There's an emergency. I can't attend to that right now because I have to attend to an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
I think a true true friendship is not somebody who will be there for you in an emergency. It's somebody who will like water your plants when you go out of town and like do something that is slightly out of their way but will show up for you in day-to-day ways.
I do agree with that.
Thank you.
I mean, especially we're doing an extreme of emergency.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because that's the fight that I've had where another friend of mine was like, no, that proves better friendship. And I was like, oh, disagree.
What the fuck? No, it
I
doesn't.
I think that's crazy.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because no one is going to look at you like you're a bad friend if you did not water the plants.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If it was like, oh, you didn't think to go help out or show up to that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But if you do, that's like real.
Yeah. You know what? And I don't know if this comes from because you've had friendships where you felt like, dude, I was always there for you in those little times.
Yes.
And then you have the little, like, you have the thing that they don't show up for that is the big thing.
Mm-hmm. I've had And you're that. Like, noted.
I've had that very much. Yeah. I had that with a friend, actually, and it was, there was three of us that were good friends. And now me and the one girl are not friends anymore. And it was due to a weekend together and things going down. And I was so mad that my other friend just immediately was this like, oh, I'm not getting involved, when I was getting literally ignored, a car door slammed in my face, treated so terribly.
That is,
and she is, quote, bonkers. So anxious. I know. So anxious and so, like, how this person would act, the mutual friend we had, she would act in a way that it would infringe on my friend's anxiety, and my friend would be like, oh my God, oh, what's wrong? And do anything to, like, make it better, blah, blah, blah. And I was very like, I'm going to ignore you because you're literally being a child with a fucking tantrum, and talk to me when you calm down. So we have two different approaches in that sense.
Yeah.
But I was furious on, like, several accounts. I'm trying to, like, say this without saying too many details.
Yeah.
But I was so mad because all I thought was, I would not just fucking stand there and not do
anything.
You
have to pick a side there,
if you were not. Yeah, exactly. She was saying, I'm not picking a side. And I was like, by you not picking a side, You left me out to dry.
By not,
and you left me out to dry on like numerous fronts, and it's hard for me to like get into this directly. But I understand the person that is afraid of confrontation isn't going to say something in the moment. But afterwards, I was like, "Yo, what the fuck is going on?" Like, we get a moment alone, and I'm like, "What the fuck is going on?" And she was immediately like, "I don't want to be involved." And I was like, no. "Look at me in my face and tell me when she said that to you, you said I don't want to be involved." I was like, because that's a lie, because you're afraid of her.
Yeah.
And because I don't blow up at you the way she does, you feel like you can say no to me.
Yep.
And I was just, ooh, I was fucking hurt. Because even like after the weekend when we're not together and blah, 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 there was clearly this distance.
Yeah.
And it was also some bullshit of, I mainly went to this weekend and drove 5.5 fucking hours because I promised this friend that I would give her a ride back to the city. Because I had to go a day late. So whatever happens, and the girl's throwing the tantrum, she's ignoring me as if I do not exist in the room.
Oh my God.
And I finally give up, because I tried to do the whole day of the, we stop back at outlets on the way home, and we go to the one store and blah, 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 and I'm like, I can't do this. I'm just going to be fucking ignored. But the entire time, it was like, oh, and you're riding in my car, right? And I'm standing there like, bitch, you better not.
Oh my God.
Because the whole reason I fucking came up here mainly was to give you a ride home. And she went in the other girl's car. And I was like,
I would be furious.
Yeah, that's something that I was just like, bruh, no.
That's insane.
Insane. And I was sitting there like.
And I will say, though, so two things. There's somebody in my extended family who gets people, like, there are people who learn that as a skill, right? That the way to,
oh, yeah.
to the way to move through the world is if somebody, like, gives you a little push, nuclear.
Yeah.
And it makes people so afraid to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
That they just get what they want by actually not having to go nuclear, because you know that that's the next step.
It, oh.
Horrible.
Oh, this is why the friend would get even angrier and throw more of a tantrum, is because I would ignore it and it would not rattle me. And I was like, there was times where I went, it was either she just wanted to fight or she wanted me to do what she wanted to do.
Right.
And I was like, nah. And then I love in that scenario, I'll get called stubborn. And I was like, I'm not being stubborn. I'm just not entertaining this ridiculousness.
Yeah.
And it happened in college. We all lived in a house together.
Yeah. Okay, you're getting pretty specific.
I'm literally starting to shake. I'm getting so mad. There were six of us, and I'll never forget, it was the first couple weeks, because, you know, you decorate the house and da-da-da. And again, I'm not someone that gives a shit.
Yeah.
We don't have any curtains. We have this big living room with windows. And I'm like, all right. So I have a car, and the next time I did a trip to Walmart, which was the only fucking store, I pick up curtains.
Yeah.
And I picked up blackout curtains, because if we have a party.
Love a blackout curtain.
I don't want anyone to fucking see.
Yeah.
Right? I get these curtains. They match the couch. I'm like, whatever. I don't give a fuck. It's a dirty old couch. And
it's also college. You guys are
dude,
not. This is not Architectural Digest.
Insane. But I come home and whatever. I put up the curtains, and apparently the curtains are a problem. And I get confronted about the curtains. And what's hilarious is this happens in front of everybody.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
the audacity.
All right. And then all of a sudden I'm getting yelled at about how this person has seasonal depression.
No.
I'm thinking about it. And it was so funny because she just kept pushing me. And I was like, and I was actually fighting back though. I was like, okay, I go, I thought it was a generous thing that I went and bought curtains. I was like, you don't have to yell at me and say, these are the ugliest fucking curtains I've ever seen in my life.
That's insane.
But the whole, it was so funny to watch the rest of the house.
Yeah.
Fucking panic.
Yep.
Panic like I've never seen. And it was funny to me because I was like, I grew up in a house. I didn't really get screamed at, but there was yelling.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get it's a personality thing. My sister would get riled up, and I was just like, I just would wait for the yelling to be over and told what to do and just behave.
We're a very cold anger family.
Oh, but I was like, so I just went back at her because I was like, what the fuck is this? I literally was like, why are you screaming at me about the curtains? And I'm like laughing. I'm yelling and laughing. Yeah. I'm like, there are curtains. I don't care. I was like, you want to get different curtains? I go, you go out and you buy fucking curtains.
Totally.
Go,
I'll give you the receipt. You may return these and
get new
ones.
I was like, I don't care. But I was like, why are we in a screaming match about goddamn curtains, right? But it was so funny to see everyone in the house with the aftermath of that. People were like just fucking terrified of her.
That's nuts.
And it was very like, I don't want to make her blow up. Right. We'll just do whatever so-and-so wants to do. And I was like, I don't give a fuck.
No, you can't live that way, kowtowing to that. That's not going to work.
No, it's insane. And what's so funny is then I became the person was the confrontation person that the other girl.
Yeah,
I know that this stuff is so small, so trivial, but it's so funny that like the group will still reference this stuff. Granted, they don't reference the curtains anymore because her and I don't talk. But there was the girl that she would be the earliest up in the morning. She was the early bird, the go on a run before class.
That's me.
She also was the fucking routine, and she would always have oatmeal every morning. Now, we only had one pot.
Oh.
And she would use the pot and not clean it.
Okay.
So the pot would just be in the sink. Yes.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those things like, you know, you clean it a couple times, and then you're like, nah, fuck this. Because I was like, you have time to get up and go for a run and shower and blow dry your hair and do all this stuff before class. You got to work in time for the pot. So it's just that thing of everybody else is fucking complaining. And I was like, all right, well, I guess it's my job to fucking confront her on the pot or whatever. But it was so
funny. I would just start leaving the pot.
Here's the thing. I didn't even see it as confrontational. But I was annoyed because I'm like, I want to use the pot or so does five other people in the house. So the one day,
buy another pot.
The one day she came back and I just was like, hey, like, I don't know, we were on the living room or something. And I just said something. I was like, hey, I was like, and I'll say her name because she knows, Katie. I was like, yo, Katie. I was like, when you make your oatmeal in the morning, I go, you got to clean the pot, man. And she was like, what? And I could tell she was like startled.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that people would be so offended. And I'm like, I don't know, bro, just clean the pot.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not really that mad if you do it.
Yeah.
And I just was like, yeah, dude. I'm like, I shouldn't have to clean the pot whenever I want to use the pot.
Correct.
And should nobody else.
Because presumably she's getting a clean pot each morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her pot's clean.
Yeah, of course.
So it's so funny, though, of like, from that, everyone was like, oh, like that oatmeal pot confrontation. I'm like, you think that's a fucking confrontation?
The classic.
Like, I'll show you a confrontation.
Capital O, capital P,
literally.
Oatmeal pot confrontation.
I'm like, oh, the oatmeal pot? And I was like, is this the only time you've ever been called out, Katie?
It goes Thrilla and Manila. Oatmeal pot confrontation.
Yeah, literally, me. I'm the top of the fucking oatmeal pot. And what pisses me off is when other people would say that about me, like, oh, confrontational Erica. And I was like, you don't see me calling you pussy Iris because you don't have the balls to ask someone to clean an oatmeal pot.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, those are a side tangent.
Okay, what are your three?
Yeah, what about someone cleans the oatmeal pot?
Yeah.
Likes my curtains. And and will stick up for me.
Okay, well, the third one was good.
All right, on the reel. Okay. I think... Damn, I feel like mine suck compared to yours. Yours are very well thought out. I'll say driven.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the top things that also just makes me attracted to someone.
Yeah,
is that
that's fair.
Very driven in whatever they do. The second one, I say thoughtful, and I think that's similar to your, like, selflessness.
Yes.
Of... the little things of that have to do with me and then don't have to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, again, this comes from roommates. Like, you were the last person to put the thing in the trash that filled the trash. Take the trash out.
Yep.
Why? I hate the game of like, we're both all just going to keep piling stuff on here. Wrap up the trash, take it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just the thoughtfulness on that level, I would really appreciate.
Yeah.
And the third one, I agree on the family thing.
Take it.
But I'm kind of like, this is hard. I'm like, God, I only have a third. what did I say? Thoughtfulness?
Yeah.
I forgot.
Driven and thoughtful, and now we need a third.
Driven and thoughtful. I feel like what also goes hand in hand thoughtful is like the kindness and the thoughtfulness. Damn, this is very hard. I think sweet and thoughtful go hand in hand, so I'm just going to wrap those two together.
Yeah.
Because I do think I need someone to be soft with me, and that gets me to be soft, honestly. And I do it. I don't come off that way to people, but I do it. I'd say the third one is just family-oriented.
That's, yes.
And I think it's a big umbrella, but it also goes for if we have kids, it's very all about that, and being all about us doing things together and being a family, and then I would like to think that also correlates to the...
Yeah.
care about my family, or at least pretend to fucking care.
I have
get in the conversation, you know?
And to that end, with the kids one, like, this is my sort of like proxy for that kind of stuff, where I guess this is not, this isn't necessarily a rule, but it's like a thing I look for, is I want somebody who wants to leave the party at the same time as me. And
okay.
I think that
hard to find, but I get exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Where like, I remember, this is so specific. Oh shit. A partner's calling me. Shit. Okay. I will call it right back. I remember an article actually in the LA Times where it was about millennial dadding or something. And it was about this dad that was like taking kids to breweries and like all this stuff. And like, I understand wanting to integrate kids, especially if you're in a friend group where things are at different phases, mm-hmm. where like, is this something I can bring my child to? Is this a child reasonable event? Right. It really bothers me when people are not willing to admit that having a kid changes your life. You do not get to keep the same life,
yeah.
objectively. Mm-hmm. And I think you want to marry someone that understands that. And so
he wants to change it.
Yeah. And so I think for me, I don't think that in my mid-30s, I could date someone who is like party, 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 because that tells me you are not ready to like leave the party,
mm-hmm.
to go to the baseball game and come home.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
exactly. Or I was going to say, you even saying that thing about the kids. Some people would argue like, oh, your life changes just being in a relationship. Or
I think the true Rubicon is kids.
Because they don't have to be a crazy partier. It's just, I sit there like, first of all, I have never loved being out in a bar till 2 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah.
We later. But I like being social.
Yeah.
But I cannot imagine dating someone where it's like, it's almost a weird thing of like, why are we out getting hammered?
Yeah.
We know we're going to go home and fuck each other. Like, there's not this...
There's no game.
Drinking and staying out and hopefully we'll meet someone.
Right.
And or there's the girl in the bar I really want to talk to that I haven't yet.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm right here.
Just waiting for my moment.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no moment.
Yeah.
It's just us two.
Yeah.
Like, you know what
I
mean?
It's just the thing we do every weekend.
Like, we know where the night ends. Why are we delaying the end?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let's wrap it up
yeah.
at a certain point. But, yeah. So it's... Yeah, I think it's like there's little phases in life that... I mean, I would just call it growing up.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay, I'm kind of over... this thing.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. And that's a nice little ending.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Yes. Thank you for coming on. My first LA guest, one of my LA friends. And yeah, thank you all for listening. If you have not subscribed to the YouTube, I appreciate it if you do. And share the pod with a friend. That's another way you can help us out. So thank you all for listening, and talk to you in 2 weeks, not next week. Bye.